Welcome to the Toowoomba Vineyard Church podcast. We're a vineyard church plant in Toowoomba, Queensland, passionate about discovering the joy that comes from following Jesus in community. Each Sunday, we record the messages from our gatherings so you can follow along the journey from wherever you are. Stick around at the end and we'll let you know how to connect. In the meanwhile, enjoy the message.
So I want to talk to you this morning about God's call on your life and God's call on this church to be a supernatural people. But that's not a call to be a weird people, right? It's not a call to be a weird church, though it is a call to make room for weird stuff to happen. See, God can do weird all by himself. Right? And in my time, I've seen some very, very strange things happening. But they're not strange things that I was doing or the person was doing. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that God's idea of order is very different to our idea of order. That when light confronts darkness, that weird stuff can happen, and we should grow comfortable with the weird stuff as long as at the end God's order is established in the life of the person who is experiencing whatever's going on. Are we okay with that? So God thinks that you should have a supernatural life, but he's not expecting you to become a weird person. He is expecting you to partner with him in supernatural things. So I'm wanting to talk to you about how you get from where you are now. Now, I know that there is a level of experience here, but God's looking for more. So part of what we're talking about this morning is maybe a shift in perspective, a shift in thinking that will lead to a shift in experience so that we become supernatural people who live with an expectation and an openness to the Holy Spirit breaking into our life at any point to do something cool in the life of somebody that we're with. It's not just for church meetings, it's for life. So I want to talk to you this morning about authority, power, and anointing. Because these three things are important if we're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are a movement that's called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to do the works of the kingdom. That's the stuff that Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit. At the same time as being normal Australian people. So I want you to open your Bibles first. We're going to look at authority first. And so I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 8. Now, authority in Greek is the word, translates the word exousia. And authority is permission, right? Authority is the right to do something, right? So a policeman has authority to stop traffic, right? Now, he doesn't have power to stop traffic. He has authority. So that means that he could drive to the middle of an intersection, put on the light, stand up, put his hand up, and expect that the traffic will stop because he has authority. He has a legal right to do things, or maybe it's she has a legal right to do things. In Matthew 8, Jesus has a conversation with a centurion. And the centurion has someone who's sick, and he's wanting Jesus to heal this person. And Jesus says, all right, now centurions are quite important people. Jesus and the whole country were living under the authority of the Romans. And so a centurion was a big dude, and he said, all right, let's go. And the centurion says, no, I don't expect you to come to my house. I just want you to say the word. And Jesus is amazed. Now, that's pretty incredible that Jesus, second person of the Trinity, God's king, he's amazed at the faith of this centurion. And it's because the centurion understands authority. Right? The centurion says to Jesus, look, I know that you're a person of authority. I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, he comes. I say to this one, do this, and it's done. That's authority, that when I speak something, it happens. And Jesus is astonished, and he says to the centurion, go, let it be done according to your faith. And so Jesus is amazed by this Gentile who has a good understanding of authority. So in Matthew 10, if you flick across a couple of pages to Matthew 10, verse 1, Jesus has had a crew of guys traveling around with him while he's doing his ministry. And the ministry of Jesus consists of announcing that God's rule has broken in, that God is becoming king among his people again, that God has finally come to do the things that the prophet said God was going to do. The unexpected thing is that Jesus is not what people were looking for. They were looking for a guy on a horse with an army and swords. But Jesus is coming as God's king, an unexpected passage. And so he's announcing the arrival of God's rule, that it's breaking in. And the evidence that it's breaking in is that the stuff that the prophets talk about has started happening. People are getting their sins forgiven. Blind people are seeing. People who can't walk are getting up and walking. Sick people are being healed. Those who are harassed by demons, even though there's no demons in the Old Testament, they're getting released. This is the evidence that God's kingdom has come. And so Jesus has had a bunch of guys traveling with him, and they were all guys. Sorry about that. That's because Jesus is starting a new Israel, and the 12 patriarchs were all men. This is not to say that the church is meant to be led by men. This is to say that Jesus is doing a symbolic thing in re-establishing a new covenant people where the rules are different to the old covenant, right? That's why girls get to play in this movement at least, right? And if you're called and gifted, you get to lead too. We don't have a problem with that. If God's into it, we're into it too. But I realise that is a bit of a stretch for people who may have grown up in other traditions. Right, I'm one of those people. Now, Jesus calls his crew to him, and it says that he sends them out in twos, and he gives them authority. He gives them exousia. He gives them permission over, what's it say in the text? What do they get authority over? Right? Excellent. He gives them authority over unclean spirits and over what kind of sicknesses? Every kind of sickness. That's interesting. And then he gives them specific instructions in verse 7. He says, as you go, announce this message, God's kingdom has come near, God's rule has arrived, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. These are your marching orders. Because see, the last thing Jesus said to these guys before he went back to his Father is, go make disciples and teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Now look at the language here in Matthew 10. This is command, right? This is imperative. This is the language of, I want you to do this. As you go, preach this message. God's kingdom has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. You get it for free, give it away. This is God's call on us as a people. It's actually God's call on the church, but we're trying to do the stuff that Jesus said we're supposed to do. Now, the 12 go out in pairs and visit the villages, and they come back super excited, saying to Jesus, you won't believe it. Even the demons are submitting to us in your name. So it works. Now, the thing that's amazing about this story is that these guys don't have the Holy Spirit. This is pre-Pentecost. And so authority works without the Holy Spirit. So we're actually ahead of these guys because we don't just have the authority of Jesus, we're also inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool, huh? So authority is the right, the permission to do something, and we've been given authority over the spirit world. Right? Paul says in Ephesians 2, but that we've been lifted up in Christ Jesus into the heavenly places, that we are above the rulers, the powers, and the hosts of wickedness. Right? So when you became a Christian, your spiritual rank changed. Your authority as a human changed. And if you read the work of Michael Heiser, you actually join the council of God, right? When you become a son or a daughter of God, that means that you've been invited to join God's divine council, the mob that God uses to rule his world, right? Which incidentally is why we're going to judge angels, if you've ever read that bizarre phrase in 2 Corinthians and thought, what the heck is that about? Right? It's because what God is doing is he's gathering a new family, a new group of people that he's going to share his rule with. That's us. And so we take the place of the angels who were supposed to be doing that job but decided to become gods themselves and receive worship from humans. We take their place. And we get to start now. We don't have to wait until we die and get resurrected. The time for us to start helping God running his world is right now. And incidentally, the task is we're partnering with God in a new creation. See, the new creation started at resurrection, and our job is to be working with God towards the new creation. The new creation has already started, and it's us, right? That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. That's what he means, that the new creation has already started. So it's not just about people getting their sins forgiven and becoming Christians. In what way does your life contribute to releasing God's new creation into his world? Right? If you're in nursing, you're doing that through healing. This is new creation. Right? If you're in education, you're doing this through forming young minds. Right? If you're a creative person, you're doing it by creating beauty or by calling out injustice. This is new creation. This is what we're called to as new creation people. But I digress. You have authority. You have the authority of Jesus, and you get to rule with him, which doesn't mean that you rule for him. It means that you pay attention to what he's telling you, and then you enact what it is that he tells you to do. Right? So we rule as his representatives with his authority, and that authority is over the powers, over evil spirits, and over sickness and disease. The second thing I want to talk to you is about power. Now, power is different to authority. Power is the ability to do something. Right? So I talked about the cop. He can hold up his badge and stop traffic, but can't stand in front of a semi-trailer and stop the semi-trailer. That's going to get ugly. Right? Power is the ability to do something, and we don't have it. But in Luke 24, Jesus says to his disciples, just before he goes back to heaven, he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. This is Luke 24, I think verse 49, if you like to be able to write down the address of things. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then he repeats that thing again. So Luke's volume 2, Acts 1, verse 8. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So we are an empowered people. We're one up on the disciples in Matthew 10 or Luke 9 and 10. Because we don't just have the authority of Jesus, we actually have God living within us. We have the Holy Spirit within us, so we have power, but it's power through the Holy Spirit. And so when we are using our authority and we're praying for a situation to change, we get to ask for God's power to be released, and God's power changes things. Now, the Greek word that's translated power is the word dunamis, which is the word from which we get dynamite. So Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, was classically trained, and so he intentionally picked that name dynamite for his evil product. Right? This is the guy that made the Nobel Prize. Right? Before he put a very generous grant for peace and all of that stuff, he invented something that killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people and still does quite effectively today. Dynamite is the ability to rearrange things. We don't have it, but we do have the Holy Spirit, so we have access to God's power. Sorry, my phone keeps going to sleep. I do have some notes here. Now, the third thing that I want to talk to you about is anointing. Now, we're going to skip across to Luke chapter 4, a passage that I hope you're familiar with because it's quite foundational for us as a movement. And Luke sets this quote, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, and Jesus takes this as his mission statement. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bring sight for the blind, release for captives, freedom for prisoners, to announce the year of God's favour. Now, there is an anointing on us as the people of Jesus. In fact, that's actually what the word Christian means. Christian comes from the Greek word Christos, which translates the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. Christos is the anointed one. Christians are the people of the anointed one. We are the anointed family. So we're supposed to live like that. Right, we're meant to live in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, anointing, there are some groups that, like someone like me who stands up the front because they're the anointed one. Nah, that's not the way it works. 1 John 2:20, you can look it up. John says to a group of beaten up, sad, depressed Christians, because all of the powerful ones have left and gone off and started their own thing, and these are the not very impressive ones who are left behind, he says, but you have an anointing and you know everything. That's addressed to us. We have an anointing. You are an anointed one. Now, anointing is something that varies from one Christian to another. We know that from the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You remember the story where Jesus is talking about when he's coming back, and he says, I'm going to give some responsibility out. One person's going to get 5 bags of gold. Another person's going to get 3. Someone else will get 1. Right, and the guy who got the 5 went out and he doubled them, and when the master came back, gave him 10. The guy who got 3, he doubled his, gave the master 6. The guy who got 1, he'd buried his in the ground. Now I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said to the guy who buried his stuff. He says, you wicked, lazy servant. So you think I'm a hard man? Why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I could have got some interest? Now, we won't wonder too much about the fact that that servant gets thrown into outer darkness. That's a little scary and could take some interesting reflection. If we're thinking that God has given us stuff, that we have an anointing, and it may be that your anointing is not as impressive as mine, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to look at your anointing and think, oh, that's sad. Maybe I'm going to bury it. Because see, he then says, take the talent, right, the bag of gold from this wicked servant, and give it to the one with 10. To the one who has, more will be given. See, we get to change our anointing through use. The key is not talent, which is where we get that idea of talent being something that we're good at, comes from this parable. The key is faithfulness. The key is taking the little bit that we've got and being faithful with the little, because as we're faithful with the little that we get, God actually gives us more. There's promotion that comes from being faithful with the stuff that God's given us. Now, when I started to explore all of this supernatural stuff, I was very unimpressed with the stuff that I got. And I'm still often quite impressed with the stuff that I get, because it's only ever a little bit. But there have been times when I've given the little bit that I've got, and the Holy Spirit's come and gone kaboom, and something remarkable has happened. And all I had was a little bit. See, the Holy Spirit whispers. He doesn't shout. Now, I have friends. They seem to get really, really good stuff. And yes, I'm super jealous. Right? I want to know this whole prophetic word that I get to deliver before I go in. It's never, ever worked that way for me. I only ever get a little bit. But because I've learned to be faithful with the little bit that I get, I've been able to partner with God where I've seen extraordinary things happen and people's lives changed. So how do we get started? Pay attention when the Holy Spirit whispers. See, God is always up to something, and we miss most of it because we don't pay attention. And so this morning there's an invitation to promotion. There's an invitation for you to step into a new realm of the Holy Spirit. For you to start a new phase of your journey with God so that your life becomes an adventure that's full of wonder. That you become a person that the Holy Spirit can sneak up on. And together you and He can blow somebody out of the water. Or bring comfort to a broken heart, or healing to a broken body. Now, when just after I met Derek, I sat down and I felt the Lord say, retire. And I'm thinking that probably already had happened, but it was spelled wrong. It was spelled R-E-T-Y-R-E. And I felt the Lord was saying, you're not done. That this is for you and for Nancy. And I heard on the grapevine that you guys have been very active and faithful in serving the church. But that God's saying that there is a new phase of your journey. And that this new phase requires some retreads. And there might be some reframing of the way. So some of the things that you've brought from your faithful service in the past, there might need to be some readjusting. And I don't know this for a fact. I might be interpreting here. So you need to take the thing that I heard was retire. So retread, get ready for a new phase. But that the Lord's got some new tricks for you two to learn. And it's going to be exciting. So I don't know if that fits for you and you'd like to take that. I also felt for you guys that we had pizza last night that we were talking about, I mentioned in passing the Acts 6, the deacons, the ones who are waiting tables. And that at this stage of the life of the church, some of you are waiting tables, literally, like, Emma and, you were literally waiting tables this morning. You brought the food around. But if you read on in Acts, from Acts chapter 6, right, the next phase of Acts is some pretty amazing stuff that those deacons get to do the ministry of Jesus. They get to do the Holy Spirit stuff. Now, I'd probably go for Philip over Stephen, just because it's a happier story. But we don't always get to choose. I'm hoping it's Philip. That would be cool. But I have a sense that there is promotion coming for you, Hannah, and Mandy, and Laura. I felt that the Lord was saying there is a contentment about you, which is pretty cool, that you make the best of things. But I also sense the Lord saying that there's a real hunger there, and that what Chris was saying just at the end of worship applies specifically to you, that you're really hungry to see more than you've seen. And the Lord wants you to know that He's heard your prayers and He's got an adventure for you where He's going to make you hungrier, but He's going to promote he's wanting to promote this group of people within the town into the work of the Holy Spirit, into the supernatural ministry of Jesus, if that's okay. But seeing with all of this stuff that we've talked about this morning, what God is waiting for is our yes. What God is waiting for is for us to say, yes, Jesus, I'm up for the adventure. And then we pay attention and we start to look for the little bit that God gives us. Right? For me, it's only ever a breath of wind, the faintest thing, but I've learned to tune in and pay attention. You can do the same. Now, this morning when I woke up, I felt the Lord, I saw a picture of a bladder, and I felt the Lord say incontinence, and I thought he might have said postpartum, so I don't know if there's anyone, now I'm not going to ask you to come down the front, but if there's someone here who has a little bit of incontinence trouble, I believe there's some healing this morning. So you can grab someone to pray for you and get that healing without anybody else in the room knowing. If that's okay, you can come down the front if you want. I also felt, I did see kidneys in the picture with the bladder. That's how I knew it was a bladder. I don't know if there's someone here with kidney. I'm sort of a bit surer of the second bit than the first bit. But if there's someone who's got something going on with your kidneys, we can pray for that too. And the other thing I felt the Lord say is that there's someone here who's facing some financial difficulty and they're really scared, that there's fear attached with. And I felt the Lord saying, I'm going to look after the financial stuff for you, but I really want to deal with the fear. So I'm done and it's your turn. I'm wondering if you'll give Jesus your yes this morning. What I didn't tell you about anointing is that you can receive an anointing two ways. One is to just step in the anointing that you have because the Holy Spirit's in you. But the other is to have hands laid on you by somebody who carries an anointing that might be different to what you have. I'm such a person, right? I'm one of the original foundational pastors for Vineyard Australia, which means that I received an anointing to found a movement. Now, I was the least important there that... important person there that day. There are a bunch of the other 10 looking at us thinking, why are they here? We're still here. None of them are. They're all gone. I didn't know that day that that's what the anointing was for, but it's an anointing. It's the Vineyard anointing to do this kingdom stuff and to change the world, if you're game. And the swallows just flew in again, and that reminds me that when we first came in this morning, I sat down and a couple of swallows came in and were flying around. And I felt that that's actually a prophetic thing over this church that is about welcome, because the common name of the swallow is the welcome swallow. That this is a church which is about welcoming people who feel excluded, feel like they're outsiders, maybe people who've been unwelcome in other places, maybe even unwelcome in other churches, and that this is a place where we're meant to make them feel loved, accepted, and at home. I have a sense that God's already at that, but just to confirm that the Lord really likes that idea. He wants his people to welcome those who...
You did it! Good on you. If you want more where that came from, search out Toowoomba Vineyard Church wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram Facebook, or at tvc.org.au. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to connect. Thanks for listening. Grace and peace to you wherever you are.